gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Colin Karcher Podcast, live here in studio in Salt Lake City. Bringing you again the best information on parenting, technology, raising your kids in this crazy, insane, crazy world they're going up. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for joining. As always, super excited about today's topic and my guest, who I've been wanting to talk to for a long, long time. So before we get into it, let's just talk a little bit about what's going on. What's the dealio? So I get a lot of messages from parents, of course, young parents of young kids, and they're like, thank you so much for everything you're saying because my kids are still young and I'm like, we haven't had to deal with this mess yet. And it's been so nice. And now I know what you've, you know, from what you've seen and, you know, what you're sharing that like, I don't need to worry about throwing my kids in this stuff. And, you know, parents saying like, we're going to be screen free or we're not going to give our kids smartphones until they're 37 or whatever it is. And I love getting those messages and it's so fun for me to be able to hear parents, you know, say, thank you. I've seen what this has done to my nieces or my nephews, or I've seen this done to like my younger siblings. And like, now I'm a young parent. Like, I don't want that to happen to them. So those messages are great. In fact, when I do parent nights, I always start off by asking, okay, let's raise your hand. Let's see who's here in the audience. How many of you have kids under 10? You know, and like half the audience raises their hand and they're always smiley, happy, like, hey, parenting's so fun. And then I'm like, okay, how many of you have teenagers? And then all the other hands go up and I'm like, look at those parents. See how like mad and just like worn down they all are. And everyone just laughs. And they're like, and they're looking at the young parents like, you guys have no idea what you're getting into. And so today I'm really excited because as much as I talk about like how easy it is to just not give your kids these devices and not give them these apps and not give them these phones, what about all the parents out there who were the first, really, really the first generation parents who are looking at that 17-year-old daughter or son and they're like, what am I supposed to do? I gave this kid a phone when he was 10. Like, this kid has been on Snapchat since Snapchat existed. This kid has been using this phone as a huge piece of his life and I didn't know any better. And now I know what I know. Like, I wish I never would, but sadly we can't live like that. We can't say, oh, you know, armchair quarterback and say, I'm going to go back in time and fix this. And I really do. My heart breaks when I hear these parents and they literally message me like, what do I do? Like, how do I put the lion back in the cage? And of course, you know, that's a very tough situation to be in. And so today's podcast is really going and geared towards parents who have teenagers who are either A, you're having teenagers who, you know, are going to start transitioning into this technology and they're going to get on a smartphone and they're going to get in this tech and social media. And how do you successfully guide and mentor them throughout this process? And then the other part, parents, are for you. The parents who are sitting there who are just banging their head against the wall saying, what did I do? I don't know how to fix this. You know, obviously taking the phone and just throwing it in a volcano is not going to work. You know, I always tell parents, you know, parent nights, like if your daughter's had Snapchat since she's 12 and she's 17, like you're not going to get rid of it. I'm sorry. Like as much as you wish you could, you gave them the most addictive thing that they all talked with their friends of, like you ripped that away. It's like basically you ripped away two arms and their throat and like everything to them. So how do we work with this? How do we manage this? When you become a tangled mess as a parent with your kids, how do you untangle the mess? And my guest today is a good friend of mine who's out there in Hood River, Oregon. I went out and spoke in her community a while ago. She is a mom of teenagers and has an amazing story and now goes out and actually teaches online. She's got classes that are phenomenal for parents who are like, how do I do this the right way? Either guiding my teenagers and tweens into this technology, or how do I really help those teenagers who kind of have struggled and we're a big tangled mess in our family. The website is betterscreentime.com. And my guest today from Hood River, I think that's how the song goes, is my friend Andrea Davis. Andrea, thank you so much for being here. Thanks so much for joining.
I'm so excited to be here, Colin. Thanks for asking.
Yay. You said you're not in the fires. Jeez. I turn on the internet or the news and like it's like bright red photos of downtown Portland and like the coast in San Francisco. It looks like some crazy apocalypse. You guys are not quite there, but you guys are getting the smoke, obviously, right?
Yeah, we've got some of the smoke. And when we first moved here, we had huge fires very close to us.
Yeah.
So I know that feeling. And then, as you know, we had a house fire a year ago where we did literally lose most of the inside of our home. So my heart goes out to the people who are experiencing that right now. But
yeah, oh my God.
Really, I think that yeah, it's just, it's a crazy time.
It is. Yeah. I don't know who's writing the script for 2020, but literally chill out, dude, whoever it is. So, yeah. someone said today, those Black Mirror episodes on Netflix that are really creepy, all about like post future, like could happen, how technology could ruin us. And someone's like, isn't it cool how season 6 of Black Mirror is like this real life 2020? Like we're all living it right now. That's really cool that the producers did that. But anyway, so I'm so excited to have you on, and have you share your story and help our parents who are listening to me about, you know, dealing with tech and helping kids, really guiding, mentor them into this world. As much as we would love to just throw away all these apps and throw away a lot of this technology, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be a part of their life. And I get a lot of mess for parents who are like, well, they're going to see it anyway, so I just have to give it to them when they're 12 and just hope they make good decisions. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. That you can't just hope they're going to make good decisions because their brains are not wired to make good decisions anyways. So how do we coach?
Hope's not a good strategy.
Hope is never a good strategy. Yeah. So let's go into it. So introduce yourself and kind of tell us your story of kind of really how you got into wanting to go out and teach parents all about this. So let's go.
Yeah. So really this started long ago when our oldest was 2. And at the time my husband was working on his PhD at Purdue. And we were just surrounded by a lot of incredible people. And one of those was my friend, a friend of mine. And she was a voracious reader, just like loved to read. And I said, hey, what did your parents do to create this love of reading, you know, for you? And she said, well, we didn't have a TV. And I was like, really? I was just like super curious and interested.
One of those families, huh?
Yes, I mentioned to Tyler, I was like, what do you think if we just put the TV in a closet?
Yeah.
And I know this would not go over in most homes, so I'm not recommending this necessarily, but we did it. We put our TV in a closet. That was 13 years ago, and it's always been that way.
It's still in the closet. Like it's so if you want to watch a movie, you guys
technically
just sit in the floor in the closet.
Yeah. And so technically we lost the TV in our fire last year, a year ago, and we've never repurchased one. So we actually got just a projector and a screen.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. So we would pull it out for the Olympics. So we loved the Olympics. So the TV would sit out for like weeks during the Olympics. Yeah. And then we would pull it out for a family movie night. Yeah. So literally like pick up the TV, put it out. So I can tell you like, so my oldest is almost 16 now and my youngest is 6. I can tell you like this many years later, it totally worked. Like my kids love to read.
Yeah.
And yet I know that that's not the only way to raise readers.
You know?
But that concept there is just like kind of beginning with the end in mind, right? Like Stephen Covey's idea of beginning with the end in mind. And so I think that concept of crafting a vision for our family, like what do we want to see 5-10 years down the road is so powerful. And so fast forward years later, Colin, and we had kind of a traumatic move. We moved from Illinois to Oregon about 3.5 years ago. It was unexpected. My husband took a new job. And it was in the middle of like the worst winter that the locals said that they'd had in like 30 years. And so
you brought the winter with you from Chicago.
It's such an expensive place to live, you know, for here. So I know you're in Utah. It's kind of like moving to Park City a little bit.
For sure.
It is just kind of high end, small town. And so we're having a hard time finding a place to live. So the point is we were living in temporary housing. Life was totally crazy, kind of got flipped upside down. And I thought, I don't know anybody in this town. I need to be able to get a hold of my middle schooler in case she needs me, or I need her to be able to call me.
Yeah.
And so I handed her a leftover smartphone. I think it was one that my dad had given us, and was like, hey, you know, now it was totally practicality.
Yeah.
She can call me if she needs to call me. Like, really, this is where my brain is at.
This is a phone. It can make phone calls. And that's what I need my daughter to do is use this smartphone to make phone calls only. Yeah.
That's right.
That's all it does.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, right. And like, and so you think 3 years ago, there's no Gab. There was no, like Apple didn't have screen time.
Yep.
There was no Google Family Link to like control all these things. So you had to like buy a third, you know, use a third party app to like do all that. That sounded like really heavy handed to me.
Sure.
But as you know, So like a few months later, I was like, whoa, what have we done? Like all of a sudden there's like, I thought this was just a phone.
What the heck? Yeah.
I was like, I've never even heard of Musical.ly. What's Musical.ly?
Yeah.
Like all the things, right?
Yeah.
The ignorant parent, which I know like you're very familiar with. So it didn't take long and I was like, oh, we got to backtrack. And it was early enough in the game. I knew that we could. And I know parents tell me all the time, like, oh, you can't go back. Like you can't go back. And I'm like, oh, yes, you can.
Yes.
And I realized like way later, it does look different. But really early on, I mean, really just like we are the parents. And so, yes, there were tears. Yes, there was pushback. So not fun. But we went to a brick phone. And Tyler actually used to teach parents how to like buy a SIM card, buy a brick phone on Amazon, connect them to a wireless carrier. And that's like what we did because, there was no Gap phone. So that was kind of what we did. And then we just started having discussions with our kids. And I was like, hey, where's my person that can help me with this?
Yeah.
And so I just started asking tons of parents, looking around. And so really my journey started at the same time as you were starting to talk to youth groups about these dangers. I was starting to see all of the scary stuff, like all of the kind of fear-based things. And I was like, where's my parent that can like talk me down? Because I already know now this is a huge threat, huge problem. Who can like help guide me through this? And I really couldn't find that person. And so I'm like, all right, here we go. It's like in Harry Potter when the wand chooses the wizard. I really wasn't what I'm sure for you too. It's just like you kind of have that moment.
Yeah.
Where I know you share that experience when you talk about your friend's daughter, you know, that she lost to suicide. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, even just seeing losing my daughter, starting to see her childhood slip away, I was like, oh, wow, no, this is real. And the parents need more help with this. Yep. And it's like, I know I'm not fully equipped to do this, but I'm going to do my best. And so that's really how Better Screen Time came to be.
So, you, like me, fell into this, and now it's something that you get hooked to, and it's so fun to go out and help people and show them that this there's such a better way to go out there. And a lot of parents come into it saying, like you said, there's nothing I can do. I've literally had parents after my parent nights come up to me and say, hey, Colin, that was amazing. We totally messed up on our 17-year-old daughter, and we know we messed up on her, and we're just going to, you know what? And what lady once said, and there's nothing I can do about that because she's too far gone. So we're going to just work really hard on her 12-year-old. And her 17-year-old was standing right behind her and she's just on her phone. She's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm just like, no, that's not how it has to be. These kids, they want to be helped. They want you to engage with them. They want you to care. And even if they say they don't, and if they, you feel like they're too far gone, they're never too far gone. And, and don't give up on these kids. So let's talk about like your thought and your philosophy on managing kids. Let's start with like the age group where, you know, the parents where their kids have had this tech for a long time. They've been on these apps for a long time. What is your advice for them to either healthy wean their kids slowly off it or to just be a better mentor as opposed to what they're doing right now, which is like just totally giving up and saying there's nothing really I can do. Let's just hope that they like can actually manage life as an adult now, right? What is your advice for those parents who are totally. Like at their wit's end with their older teens, worried about their, you know, addiction to their phone screens, whatever it is, and they've seen it happen to them. They've seen it affect their mental health. They've seen it affect their, you know, their grades, their attitude. You know, a lot of these kids at that point, like honestly, that screen, that phone has ruined their relationship with their parents too. And the contention between the constant battle of fighting, get off your phone. No. You know, and that battle has ruined the trust and it's ruined the relationship. So that kid doesn't even want to talk to their parents anymore. So what is your advice for families in that predicament?
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head that really the first place to start is with their relationship. And again, you can't ever give up on that. And so really, that's what I always teach parents, build a relationship with your teenager, because there's no way they're going to make any change or listen to anything you say or anything until that relationship is in place first.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, we all know that starts from the time that our kids are little. And, you know, we've always tried to do one-on-one dates with our kids, but it's never too late. And if you've never had a one-on-one date with your teenager, get it on your calendar
start
this week,
now.
Like right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, what gets scheduled gets done. That's a line from Michael Hyatt. And so really, you know, we have to schedule that time in with kids, and especially teenagers, because they're a lot busier, right?
For sure.
And right now things are a little slower, at least where we are. But typically our teenagers are very involved in different things, and their friends are super important to them.
Yeah.
And so you just ask them, what do you want to do? You want to go get ice cream? You want to go on a bike ride? And then leave your device at home.
Put your device away.
Yeah. And then you just start first. That's really where it starts too, is modeling. And like, we're not going to be perfect. And that's great to have that conversation with our kids and like, let them know what we're doing on our device, if we're arranging a carpool or whatever that is. But even with our teenagers, you know, several years ago, I realized I needed to keep my device out of our bedroom and out of the bathrooms. Yeah. And I worked from home for other people before I started Better Screen Time. It was not uncommon for me to be in my bedroom 11 o'clock at night on the laptop,
yeah,
you know, trying to meet a deadline.
Sure.
This is pre-teenager. And then pretty soon I'm like, you know what? What I want? Do I want my teenagers to be doing this? No, I don't. And yeah. So I don't. So really, and that's just a habit I created. But I think that modeling the change, being the change you want to see, right? And then of course, building that relationship. And you might think your teenager doesn't want to spend time with you. They might say those words. They might, like, just their whole demeanor might demonstrate that they don't want to be with you. Yeah. But make an effort. Because that's really where it starts, is starting with that relationship. And then I always recommend that parents like look at just the basics, like how is your teen functioning? So are they getting enough sleep? Are they eating? Are they like getting physical activity? If those things are all off kilter, there's a problem.
For sure.
You know, if they've got the phone in their bedroom at night at 3 a.m. and they're not getting sleep, that's going to affect every facet of their lives, their relationships, their schoolwork, everything. And so that's really the next place to start. Once you build that relationship, then let's have a conversation about, okay, we've got an issue here.
Yeah.
And I always love, like with teenagers, one thing that's helpful is giving them options and asking them like, what's your plan?
Yeah.
What's your plan? Like, what do you think? Cause really they usually know, and give them a chance to be like, okay, yeah. And maybe they won't, it might take some time, but.
And we say that you mean plan, like, as in like what they want to be doing with their time, stuff like that. Is that what you mean? Like what's your plan? Like what, how long, like, you know, you're on your phone 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day, just on TikTok, Snapchat, like. How, like, what's your plan with this? Like, are you trying to be TikTok famous? Like, what are you going to do with this? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, and I notice you're like getting 3 hours of sleep at night and you're failing science or whatever, or you're pretty snippy during the day because you're not getting enough sleep and it's affecting our family relationship. So what's your plan here? Because we can't continue like this. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for us. And always like trying to come at this from a place of love too, and not just control, but like, I love you. Like, I'm here to help you. No one cares about you as much as I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think too that Meg Meeker talks about parenting from a place of confidence and not a place of fear. And I felt that shift in my life over the past 2 years, because once I realized the danger behind screens, I was pretty fearful and I was parenting from that place. Over and over. And that's not healthy either. Like, we kind of have to get to a point where we recognize this is a problem, but then let's focus on the solution and feel confident as a parent about your role of stepping in and making sure that your kid has, you know, a healthy balance here.
One of the things I love you said about this whole, you know, none of this is going to work with your older teens. None of it's going to work unless there's a relationship first. Any type of rule you want to set right then is not going to happen. Any type of regulation, any type of control. If you come at this conversation with any tone at all of condescension or judgment or shame, it is not going to fly. I think as I get to know and as I go talk around the country and I meet these young people, I love so much about these young people. And I call it their BS star. It's so high. They just, the crap that our parents could pull on us where we're like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like they don't, they're like, no, like their hypocrisy dar and their BS dar just does not work with them. They're too savvy. Yes. And a lot of the course is because they're being exposed to, you know, the culture on the internet and, you know, people, so much crap is being said and people get called out for it. And so you cannot go into these conversations with those older teens. You got to start looking at less as a naggy parent and more as a mentor and more as a coach. And I love that thought process. And I forgot who I talked to, but tell me about that. Oh, Dr. Amy, she's like, you got to go at this as a coach for your older teens and say, listen, like, mm-hmm. this is our team and our team's failing, right? This family is a team and like, we're failing and I'm the coach and this is all on me, right? Like, we're not pulling our weight. We're not playing defense, whatever terms you want to say. You're not getting sleep. I'm a horrible example. Your father, I don't even know where he is. He's on his phone doing whatever he's doing. Like, how is our team doing? And it all falls on the coach, right? And the good coaches, what do their players say about them? They say things like, you know what? They pushed me and they saw what was best in me and they didn't enable and they didn't let me slack off. You know, they were there, but it was all this feeling of like, you know, they really did care. And everyone who plays sports, I played sports growing up, always have those coaches that were crappy and horrible. But everyone has that coach that was just like the best coach ever. And they all kind of have that same thing. And I want parents to go at their older teens with that same mindset. Like, less is naggy parent. It's not going to work. It's just going to ruin your relationship with them even more. And when the relationship gets ruined even more, then they just find more and more workarounds. And then they get into big, big trouble. One of my favorite equations, I hate math, but my only favorite equation I've ever learned is that rules without relationship equal rebellion. Why are your kids rebelling? I have rules, but they're rebelling. Okay, do the math, right? What's the missing component there? X plus Y equals Z. There's not the relationship there. So how do you build relationship with these older teens? My oldest is 14, and honestly, like, we are best friends. And she's not out there searching for connection with strangers or with friends on social media and Snapchat. I've literally told him, like, would you want to? Tell me honestly, would you want a smartphone right now and Snapchat and Instagram? She's like, I don't know. There's like, it's just stupid. Like, I talk to my friends at school.
That's awesome.
We hang out and we have fun. And I ask them at school, what's everyone doing? And that's it. Like, I don't. So having those relationships with your kids, and if you're worried it's too late, it's not. They want to spend time with you, but it can't be what you want to do either. One of the reasons why I didn't have a really good relationship with my dad is that he didn't know, probably from the way his dad raised him, he didn't know how to do things that we liked. He didn't know how to connect with us as kids in the ways that we wanted to connect. Like, if I ever hung out with my dad growing up, it was doing stuff that he wanted to do, which was either water skiing or golf. And I hated, like, most of the time I did those things. And even into marriage with my dad before he fled the coup, and I haven't seen him since in 8 years. My wife is like, hey, you know, before I kissed, she's like, hey, you just went golfing. Like, what'd you guys talk about? And I'm like, what do you think? Just golf. Like,
the golf game.
He didn't talk to you about like marriage or like college and all the stuff you're going through. No, like, he just like, we talked about that hit and that. And I was like, it's stupid. You know?
Yeah.
So connecting with your kids.
I think
on what they like.
I think you brought up a really good point too. So not only is the relationship important because you're to lay that groundwork so that you can make some changes, but the relationship is also important so that they're not looking for that elsewhere.
Yeah.
Which is what you brought up with your daughter specifically. And so often when I hear about teenagers getting in trouble on Snapchat and TikTok and these places, is they're bored and lonely.
Yes.
And they're just trying to connect with somebody. And so that's the other benefit of building that relationship. And that's something else too, that I teach parents. You know, you're talking about going golfing with your dad and not loving that. I always challenge parents to do something out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So like, my daughter and I both made a list of things that we wanted to do. And there were some things that were the same, like do yoga and Pilates together. And there were other things that were, I was like, oh, I never thought about doing that. But if base you want to do it, let's go for it. Yeah. I have my limits, like have some boundaries. For I'm sure. not going to go like cliff diving or, you know.
Let's rob a bank, mom. Yeah, yeah. Right. But a lot of those things, I mean, when you do that. So my oldest, I asked her that the other, like, I think a week ago, I'm like, if you could do anything crazy fun right now and I could do it with you, what would you do? And she's like, I've always wanted to go jump out of an airplane and go whatever it's called, right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to look into it. I think you have to be 16 to do it. She's only 14 and a half. But I was like, you know what? Yeah. What a great way to connect with a kid doing some kind of thrill-seeking thing that you know you, and they can tell it's out of your comfort zone. Like, we have seen reports and studies of how groups connect, and it's, you know, doing crazy things like that where there's like risk involved is a great way to connect with your kid. And I love that idea. Like, just ask them what they want to do, right? And if it's stupid to you, don't say that. Like, really? Like, you just want to go in the car and like listen to music? Like, I mean, really? Like, you sure you want to do this? especially with those older teens, right? Yeah. And the things they say they're into, like, it might be kind of weird to you sometimes. Like, I had a mom message me the other day. She's like, my daughter's really into this anime drawing and it's so weird to me. And I just like feel so icky with it. And it's just weird. It's like these Japanese characters. Like, what do I do? I'm like, go to the store and buy some crayons and ask her to teach you how to draw one. And she messaged me back. Totally. She's like, we just spent 2 hours and she taught me how to draw some anime characters. And it was actually really, really fun. And like, she was so excited. So stuff like that.
That's so awesome.
Now you have,
and then it kind of gives your, it gives your kids a chance to be the mentor too. So like the summer we did zip lining and I was like, I'm kind of nervous. And of course, you know, my kids were all like, come on, mom, you can do it. And then it was like, it gave them the chance because they'd already done it to be my mentor.
That's right.
And like coach me through it. And so that's really, really.
And even if you were, a closet professional zip liner, like, don't say it, right? Don't tell your kids, like, I've actually did this through my whole childhood. I'm really good at this. Like, let them be the smart pants in the room, right? So you have a course literally called Untangling Teens in Tech. What is that one all about?
Yeah. So it is a relationship first approach to working with your teens to create tech boundaries together that you can both live with. So I think that's, again, I know there's a lot of talk about cell phone contracts. And as our teen was getting older and we were kind of getting ready to transition to a very simplified smartphone, we just didn't feel good about a cell phone contract. And really that comes down to my background is in secondary ed.
Yeah.
So I actually taught junior high and taught college. And then I've spent a lot of years just volunteering with teenagers before I ever had my own. So, you know, and as you know, when you have your own teenagers, then it, you take on a whole new skill set. But I kind of knew a lot about just those developmental milestones with adolescence. And I knew that like laying down a 4-page paper with a list of rules and telling them to sign it wasn't really going to be a great way to create a relationship of trust. Now, again, I'm not like condoning anyone that's ever recommended that, or if that's worked well for you, that's great.
Yeah.
But I kind of think it's an outdated solution. I think it was a solution for a time when we were using flip phones. So in our course and what we have been doing with our own teen is actually just creating a pledge together. And I find that more helpful is because we sat down and talked a lot about her values. So I actually use a list from Brené Brown. I got approval from them to just use, she's just got like a values list of like, let's go through and like list, what are your values? Like what's important to you? And then my teen just like wrote out a little paragraph, like, how do I want to use those values both offline and online? And so my hope is that as she gets older and gains more access, that when she's deciding whether to click on an image or to leave a comment or not, whatever that might be, that she can reflect on those personal values to make those decisions. And I honestly feel like that's going to be more meaningful and impactful for her as she grows older and gains more access than if I were to give her a huge list of written rules. And of course, we talk about those things. And we have a family tech plan that we created several years ago, and we help families to do that actually in our first course, Creating a Tech Healthy Family. So that's really at like the solid foundation. And I like that because it holds everyone accountable, including me, the parents. And so that's kind of the foundation for our family. And then the pledge just kind of builds on that where it's, and then I also wrote my own part of the pledge where I'm like, hey, I commit to teaching you and like mentoring you through this. Yeah. And I also commit to not freaking out if something goes wrong at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
And how can I love you through that? And what, you know, what do you expect from me? And so really it's just a lot of conversation about like, what are our expectations? And let's create kind of some collaborative expectations together that we can both live with. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that your teen's never going to like still push for more access. And, you know, it really just depends on the kids. Some kids are like, hey, fine. Like right now your daughter is completely content. And like, you know, you've got this great relationship with her. And, but I know everyone's not in that place. And so it's like,
and that could change too, right? I mean, she's 14, right? Like she'll wake up tomorrow and dress and she'll come out in an outfit. I'm like, are we goth today? Like what's going on? You know, they're trying to figure out who they are. Things could change on a dime for sure. But I love the idea those open conversations. And I love the idea of, instead of like, here's a list of everything you're not going to do, you are going to do, and here's a list of punishments and sign it, throw it on the fridge. I think that does work for a certain age and for a certain kid, but for the older teens, they're going to just like laugh at this. Right. So
sign it.
Yeah. The sign would be like, screw this. I'm not going to use this. Right.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of that type of coaching your kid, mentoring kids, saying, look, you know, you are an apprentice adult. My job as your parent is to help you transition into a healthy, successful adult right now. As an apprentice adult, like what, everything you're learning now, 15, 16, 17, this trajectory you're on, is going to carry on, you know, over the next, probably for the rest of your life, unless you have something crazy happen. Right. So what are the values that you want to have? What's the kind of person you want to be? And I love that. And I love also bringing in that conversation. Like as you see kids around you, friends in your friend group, people at school, like what are some of the things that you're seeing kids do that are your age that you really, don't want to have a part of you? And, you know, what are some of those pitfalls you are worried that you don't want to fall into? Cause there's a lot of really, really good kids that are growing up with good value systems, with parents who teach them values, who are doing awful, awful things. And a lot of that, of course, is because parents, you know, go to that false notion that, oh, my kid's fine. They're fine. They would never mess up like that. When they are, of course, kids, they're going to mess up. But
Yeah. And I mean, certainly there's a place for monitoring apps and those kinds of things. But at some point, you know, our kids, all of that perfect scenario is not going to be in place.
Yeah.
You know, whether our kids are at their friend's house or wherever. And so, of course, we want to safeguard them and use the filters and use the Gab phone and do all these things that are super helpful tools. But at the end of the day, at some point, they're going to be alone with a device with no filters.
No one watching.
So they really, And they might make mistakes. But, you know, let's talk about that right now. Like, how are we going to respond to that when we see those images, and what are we going to do? And I think another key part of this that I talk about in the course is creating a strong sense of self.
Yes.
And that's more than just confidence, you know, and it's more than just self-esteem, but it really is like that internal compass.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that's going to keep them totally safe. And help them even when they do make a mistake to bounce back, right?
Yeah. That's a big point too. I hear from kids a lot is, you know, they say, I don't tell my parents anything because the first time I told them something, they freaked out and thought I was the worst. I mean, maybe they didn't say you're the worst kid ever, but that's how I felt. And so it just reminded me, like, I can't tell them anything. And so a lot of kids, you know, literally are hiding almost this second life from their parents because they're worried of, they've already tested out the waters once, and their parents have freaked out on them once. And so they're like, I'm not going to do that ever again. So, you know, I love that, putting that contract, not the contract, but like in that, as you talk to your teenagers about this and your kids, you're like, you know what? One thing I'm going to promise I won't do is I'm not going to freak out. The overreacting parent, the freak out, like it's hard not to sometimes when your parent, you know, I had two messages today back to back from moms. Both had 11, one was 11, one was 12 year old sons, on the school issued Chromebook, and both on YouTube. One was a girl, one was a boy. The mom said, oh my gosh, I'm so sad. I'm like literally shaking. My 11-year-old daughter was acting really weird the last day or two. And I went to her bedroom and I said, babe, what's going on? And she was freaking out and I could tell something was wrong. And then I lift up the covers of her blanket and she had like her Chromebook or something like that. And she had a YouTube link up. And the mom said, and she was looking at the most disgusting porn and it was on YouTube. And I was like, what did you do? No. And she's like, I didn't freak out. I just sat down with her and I was like, yay. Because the second you freak out on that, all you're teaching her is you messed up. I am ashamed of you. I'm embarrassed of you. You should feel like crap and just please hide this from mommy better, right? And then the message literally right after that, same thing with a 12-year-old boy. I just found out my 12-year-old boy, he just came to me. I figured I was doing something. And he said for the last month, literally every day for the last 30 days on his school issue Chromebook, he's either 11 or 12, he had been looking at porn on YouTube. And I said, what do you do? She's like, we sat down and we talked. And I was like, thank you so much for doing that. What is your advice for the parents who have young kids? And, they're saying, hey, I want to do this right. As we get our kids into the technology. Now they're getting Chromebooks and maybe they're in elementary school or they're, you know, their friends, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old friends are now getting iPhones and talking to my daughter about TikTok and throwing these poor kids into this world way too soon. Any advice, tips? I know you talk about this in your class about what do I do this? How do I do this right once we get to that point? What is your suggestion there?
Yeah. So prevention goes a long way. And this really goes to our course, Creating a Tech Healthy Family. But as you know, I just shared my story with you where there really weren't a lot of people out there spreading awareness, doing exactly what you're doing. And so parents were unaware and just weren't sure what to do.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, no one else is going to teach my kids how to do this. It's up to me.
Yeah.
And so I just started, like, we started off with a family discussion, got out our whiteboard. We did thumbs up, thumbs down. And I asked the kids, okay, guys, tell me everything you love about technology. And it was just, you know, tons of stuff. And then thumbs down. Okay, guys, what do we got to watch out for?
Yeah,
and they know, our kids know, like they know what they need to watch out for. And so we made that list. And then our next discussion was actually creating some boundaries together, our family tech plan. So we just talked about, you know, and I consider ourselves fairly low tech in today's standards. You know, we've never like given our younger kids tablets or any of those kinds of things, but we do have tech in our home that we use for specific purposes. And so I always tell families that, like, before you bring anything to your home, into your home, any kind of devices, like, think about what's your purpose? Like, what is the purpose of having this?
For sure.
And once you've determined that, then like assign those tasks to the tech. So we have a family iPad, but it doesn't have games on it.
Yeah.
So it gets used actually on our piano
for
piano music.
Sweet.
And you know, that's the thing, is technology is this incredible tool.
It is.
And so I think helping our kids even learn that power of discernment, like there's good and there's bad, and we got to start paying attention to this really early on, because even if your family is super low tech, good chances are your neighbor isn't, or our schools aren't, most of them anymore. And so we have to come at this a place of learning. And so in that, our course, Creating a Tech Healthy Family, we actually do 10 discussions with the kids and help parents with their habits. And then we've got some interviews with people like Katie McPherson and Kristen Jensen and, you know, all these great people that you and I both work with to kind of help parents along. And then actually we put those discussions in a discussion guide that we're publishing on Amazon, and that will be available on September 30th. So I'm super excited about that. So if someone, like younger families, are like, hey, let's come up with a game plan right now. Let's have these discussions with our kids. And even if you don't have a lot of tech in your home, I think we've got to have these discussions because eventually your kids are going to be affected somehow.
I've had a lot of parents message me lately saying things like, you know what, I'm almost to the point now where I'm thinking about creating my own village. you know, like a community pod, some kind of like out in the woods, like hippie combine where we all have the same knowledge. There's a lot of homeschooling pods that do. I didn't know this was a thing, but there's actually like a lot of homeschooling pods. It's like, it's a big deal. I mean, obviously in Utah where I live, like people homeschool, but they don't do it this way. Where families actually, they reach out. I think there's like Facebook groups where they kind of reach out to these homeschool pods where they all are like have the same values. And I was like, that's pretty cool. That might happen. I mean, we're living a life of no accountability in technology companies and especially social media video game companies, and kids are definitely guinea pigs in all this mess. And I honestly, there could be a day where you're seeing like entire, you know, communities or neighborhoods or churches or family groups all like putting their hands together and doing a pact and saying like, this is how we're going to live with our kids. Because that's the hardest part. I shared the other this week on my Instagram about this TikTok video of a guy. It was live streamed on Facebook, and he killed himself live. I didn't watch it. I could have, and I didn't want to because I don't need that in my life. How many times it was just shared like crazy on TikTok in an app that like little kids have. I had a mom tell me, she's like, my little niece is 5 and she's all over TikTok. I got to talk to her mom. I'm like, gosh. No. But there was so many people, so many kids talking about it and sharing it. And like, you know, there's just no accountability right now at these companies. And until then, like parents are just gonna have to step up. And just totally. Say, you know what, we are figuring this out. No one wrote this textbook. I mean, Andrea, thankfully, you have kind of a textbook on this now. There's nothing really out there saying, here's how you do it. So for parents out there that are looking for a literal how-to guide, they can go to your website. So tell us about the two courses you have. I know you have this book coming out, this discussion guide on Amazon soon, but what are the two courses and like, how does it work? Is it just like an ebook? Is there videos? How out of the box is it for parents?
Yeah, so we have two courses. The first is Creating a Tech Healthy Family, and that's really geared for like ages 5 to 13. So it's really like your elementary, middle school kids who are probably getting some exposure to tech even outside of your home, and you want to really help them and kind of get ready and to prevent any problems. But it also can be helpful if you feel like things have gotten a little bit out of hand, sure, and you want to create a plan together. And we also actually start with the parents. So I help you create some good personal tech habits. Yeah. And I rely on, I'm kind of a habit junkie. I really love like Charles Duhigg and James Clear and Gretchen Rubin, these people that talk a lot about habits. So I kind of apply that science to using that with technology and helping parents first.
Awesome.
And, you know, getting their oxygen mask on first. And then our second course, Untangling Teens in Tech, we talked quite a bit about that, but they're both self-paced. And so we've got videos and there's worksheets, but it's also all available just audio.
Yeah.
So if some people are like, I just want to listen to this, I'm not going to take time to sit and watch it, you can listen, but really like every video is generally less than 10 minutes. So it's broken up into super short chunks. And, you know, I've read all the books, The Glow Kids, Reset Your Child's Brain, all the things. And I've just trying to kind of condense the important points, show what actually works like in a practical way with your family. Mm-hmm. And then I try to help you make the best decision for your family. Cause I think, again, our circumstances and our situations are all so different that there kind of isn't a one size fits all, but there are some solid principles, sure, that we can all use to like make good decisions. So those are both available, and we've actually created a special discount just for your listeners.
Yay.
So it's Save the Kids. All one word, Save the Kids, and they can get 10% off either of our courses. So we'll talk whenever this airs, but that will be good for like a little over a week.
Cool.
From when this episode airs.
And if they sign up for it, do they have to start at a certain time? Does the class like expire, or they can kind of, you said they can do it on their own pace, but obviously we don't want to make it where it's like, come back in 2 years and hopefully you'll get done by then. Right.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's completely self-paced and they can start whenever. And then I just try to do like live calls here and there that anybody can jump in when they want. And you have lifetime access. So it's available Yeah. So people are like, I had one mom who joined the Untangling Teens in Tech, you know, a few months ago, and she was like, yeah, I'm going to use this with all six of my kids. So I'm like, honestly, it's a great deal. Like if you've got it a is, big family, yeah. you just can use it over and over again. And absolutely. Like technology changes and families change, but that's what I love about it is it's really like principles. So even yeah. as technology changes, it's evergreen. Like it will continually be able to help you. And of course, you know, we're always updating and helping parents with the latest things, but
I love it.
That's a great way to get started. Yeah,
it is. You know, one of my favorite people is Dave Ramsey, does this Financial Peace University oh, yeah. and things like that. And I was like, oh, when's someone going to do like Digital Peace University or like iPhone Peace, you know, IP, you know, something like that. I'm sure he's trademarked that and stuff, but I'm just grateful that it's right. out there. I've looked at the course. It's amazing. And so especially the parents out there who, you know, I'm so like far left as far as like, I'm just, you know, me, I'm going no screens at the kids. We're doing no social media as long as possible. We do have Gab phones. And you mentioned Gab. And if you follow me, you know what Gab is. I'm in the Gab studio actually right now doing this one. If you just want to make it so much easier on your kid to not find the bad stuff and so much easier on you as a parent to not have to deal with the stress of them finding bad stuff on their phone, even if you put on the locks and the controls, because again, those filters, as great as they are, they're just fences and every kid knows how to find out. There's YouTube videos showing kids. Yeah. I mean, I scroll TikTok and find videos of like kids like, hey, did your mom put screen time settings on your phone? Here's how you get around it. And it has like a million yes. and a half views. And you know, one point too, I always make is like, look, if you're going to go that route, like it's going to be a full-time job to sit there and parent from fear. Like I got to give it to them, but I'm going to put on 9 different apps and I'm going to monitor all their texts and I'm going to go through all those reports and make sure, you know, it's just, yep. it's, you're going to have a full-time job doing that. And it's just going to cause more headaches and problems. And I'm grateful for your course. It's going to be super rad. So when we do launch this, you'll get 10% off if you save the kids in checkout. And then Andrea's been so cool to even donate some of that profit to our foundation, to me, to save the kids so that we can go out and we can shake more trees. Lots of cool stuff coming out. I got a message yesterday from a big documentary film person about a cyberbullying documentary I'm going to be able to be a part of, looking for stories of families, of kids who have either, you know, lost loved ones and teenagers from this type of stuff. There's a really amazing documentary that just dropped on Netflix, which I canceled my account. And so I might have to just open it up just to watch this one called The Social Dilemma that was done by Tristan Harris and the Center for Humane Technology. I actually got to watch I don't need Netflix because I've already seen it. I got a preview. That was pretty cool. fantastic, amazing documentary. If you want to have your mind blown about what the technology, especially social media, Google, Facebook, Twitter, what they've done to kind of create such a mess in especially in our country here in the US. And I saw a tweet today. Someone said, isn't it crazy how Zuckerberg started with this? He started Facebook as a way to rate the girls, how they looked in his college dorm. And now it's a tool using to destroy democracy. I'm like, wow, how amazing how times change. But
wow,
it's great to see things waking up. And I love that people are starting to wake up. I feel like we were all stuck in this digital trance and everyone's kind of hopefully waking up. And there's going to be a bigger divide. There's going to be a bigger divide, I think, with parents who are going to continue this route of throwing their kids under the digital bus. Because it's parenting is too much work and it's too hard. But you're seeing a lot more parents that are waking up to like, hey, this hasn't been good. I want to see what my kids can do. I want to unlock their creativity. I want to make sure that they're smart, safe, and they're not just in there looking at screens their whole childhood. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for the discount codes. When we publish that, make sure that you use that to get 10% off. It's an amazing course. Thank you so much to you, Andrea. Thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for what you're doing. I know it's never easy. A lot of us feel like, you know, it's like, it'd be so much easier if we could just like yell at everyone and be like, can you guys just stop doing what you're doing and just like do it this way? It's so much better. Yes. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
It's better in your families. There's less contention. It's better for your kid, for your relationship with them. Like, I've never had a parent once tell me, oh my gosh, when I gave my daughter that iPhone and gave her Instagram, Snapchat, like, oh, she started to flourish and we became so close and her attitude right. was just so much better. It's never, yeah. ever happened and it never will. So
totally. I was thrilled to be here and I'm so grateful for what you're doing, Colin, and raising awareness. And it's a team effort. It's going to take all of us.
It really is. So thank you so much, Andrea, for that and for joining me today. I think I had some music here I was going to play off, but I'm using this new setup, so it's not going to work, whatever. Imagine some funky, sweet music tying us off. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, send me an email at heycolin@savethekids.us, because it's up to us to save the kids. If you want to get $10 off the new Gab Z2, you can use Save the Kids in the checkout to get $10 off. Those phones are shipping now. Our Z2 for my kids is, I think I'm picking up today. Better than the Z1 because you can do some group chats, which I know a lot of older teens need for sure. But the best part is there's tracking now, so you can actually track your kids like dolphins. I know a lot of parents freaking out by that. Thank you so much, Andrea. Go home, give your kids an ASIC hug. We'll see you next time.